Welcome to Mind Mastery and Manifestation, the number one podcast helping you rewire your mind to erase fear, unlock your greatest potential, and get the extraordinary relationships, businesses, and lives you've always wanted. We're your hosts, Dan Mendelow
and Sophie Kessler.
Welcome back to Mind Mastery and Manifestation. Got a very weird and special and kind of scary episode for you here, as it is a completely solo session. So this is going to be addressing a lot of the questions that I usually get, because you've heard me talk about my spirituality quite a bit. And when I think of the biggest events in my life that have either negatively or positively impacted me, finding my spirituality is one of the biggest. It's one of the most important. And as a result of finding my spirituality and digging into my spirituality, and that's not religion, by the way, it's spirituality, my connection with source, my connection with myself, my connection with the realms beyond the Western scientific understanding of life, it's been that has allowed me to create this life of abundance that I have, where right now I can say very honestly that my life has never been better. It's weird. I never thought that I would have this life. Even when I started working in personal development, remember, I've been coaching for 10 years now, and there was a long time, even when I was starting to be a good coach for other people, at least, that there was still a part of me that didn't really believe that I could have the life that I have now, where, and this is not to brag, but just to give you a little snapshot of where I am, I've had a number of five-figure days in the last 6 months. I have an incredible relationship with a woman who is awesome and teaching me how to play more and have even more fun and just treat life with an even lighter hand. I have really good friends who inspire me and who push me and support me. I live in a place I'm obsessed with. I love it. Love where I live in LA. You know, I get to travel around the world, meeting incredible people and going to eye-opening and life-expanding events. And I get to help people. I get to do what I was made for. I get to help other people find themselves and empower themselves to change their lives, whether it's to make even more money or to fall in love or to repair relationships or just be happy and have peace of mind. And I get to do all that now. Right? I get to manifest all these things now. And that's one of the beautiful things. You know, if you've been listening to this podcast for a while, you know that Sophie is much more into the systems and the mechanics of things. Whereas I created a multiple six-figure business off of manifesting it. Like, literally, I had no marketing for so long. I had no idea what I was really doing in terms of business structures. I didn't have any. And so my spirituality was my business tool. It was my relationship tool. It was my health tool. It was everything. And so people often ask me, when did it start? Was I always this way? Like, was I always this, you know, crystal wearing weirdo talking about energy and manifestation, laws of attraction and spirits and the realms beyond and everything? And the answer is no. No, I was not. In fact, for most of my life, I was on the exact opposite. I was very much my father's son. You know, I need to see it. It needs to be in a peer-reviewed article, and I need to be able to validate the methods and the group sizing, right? And see that I really believe it. Like, it's replicable, if I can even say the word again. And, you know, very hardcore science, you know, which is a belief system in and of itself. And I had an experience that changed the rest of my life for me. And it was the most insane thing I had ever experienced in my entire life. And it led me to experiencing some of the most beautiful things I had ever experienced. And it also led me to experience some of the greatest terror and fear that I've ever experienced. And I have never really fully laid this out, especially not in a forum like this. So, you know, it is a very vulnerable thing for me. It is a very weird thing for me to be so open about this, but I'm just gonna let you hear it and let you feel it. And I don't expect you to agree with everything that I'm about to say, and I don't expect you to connect or identify with everything. There's going to be some stuff in here that's going to push the realms of your belief. There are probably going to be some things in here that you straight up don't believe, that you can't believe. You may even get really turned off by some of this stuff. But I want you to know that none of this is made up, that none of this is, you know, created to be sensational or to be inflammatory, or if I'm in any way offensive or whatever, it's not. This is, for me, obviously, because I've never done this before, so this is a personal challenge to myself, and it's about me stepping up and being totally transparent and showing you who I am. And for you to really see what else is out there, and maybe to stretch yourself to maybe even allow yourself to see and sort of, through my eyes, experience a part of life that you might not have known existed. And it really is intense, and it is weird, and some of it gets deeply fucked up. So I figured it would be a great experience for both of us, for me to really just bear it all and show you who I am. So my story in general, I'm going to brief over this a little bit because I've gone over it a bunch in previous episodes. I was born depressed. You can think about it as a confluence of a number of different things. I believe I brought it into this life, not as a punishment, but as a challenge for me to overcome that had led me into being the person that I am today. And so I am grateful for it, but it is a fucked up way of joining this world. And I was also a C-section baby. And back then, we didn't really know what we know now. And the way that doctors had been doing it was literally just cutting people open and ripping them out, which through past life regressions and hypnosis, I'd realized had actually traumatized me quite a bit. But the way that people were doing it then, they had found that the chances of those children developing very young and serious depression was significant. And now they're doing it in a very different way, and so they're getting much better results. But for one reason or another, I was born depressed. And I was born in Jerusalem, Israel. And I was raised in New Jersey. And so from the get-go, I didn't sound like the rest of the kids. I didn't dress like them. I didn't talk like them. Even my food was different. And so I was very different. And I felt isolated. Other kids wouldn't let me play with them. And it was just really challenging. And I just wanted to fit in. I wanted to be normal. I wanted to have friends. And so before the age of 4, I was 3-something. I walked into the kitchen where my mom was making food. And I told her that I was tired of being so different. And I really wanted to just be like everyone else. And so I just had to focus on being like them, so much so I could never speak Hebrew again. And I never really did. And so before the age of 4, I learned how to hate myself and how to hide my truth and reject who I really was. And from then on, I got more and more in my head because, you know, rejecting who you are and trying to be someone else, like, you're never going to find happiness or peace that way. And it seemed like the more I tried to be like other people, the more it just blew up on me. And I got picked on and bullied often, you know, like my hair was too long, hair was too short, pants too tight, bought baggier pants, got picked on for giving in, for looking different ways, for eating different things, for whatever I did, other people found reasons to fuck with me. And it got to a point where, you know, even in high school, one of the guys who was one of my best friends and one of my only friends at the time turned on me, and I still don't know why. And he convinced all of his friends to steal my things, to rip up my books, to push me around, to openly make fun of me and tease me and bully me during class, and teachers didn't do anything. And, you know, his dad was a guidance counselor in the school, and he just called me a liar when I tried to appeal to him and didn't want to hear any of it. And this dude and all of his friends were even spreading lies about me to the rest of the school. So people who didn't even know me would hate me. So my depression grew even worse, and I got even more in my head. And in college, combined with, you know, drugs and alcohol, I got suicidal. And that really shook me. It kind of woke me up because I didn't expect that to happen. And, you know, if you've never had it happen to you, and I hope it never does, you know, before it happened to me, I thought like, oh, you know, people are like, oh, suicidal, and it like builds up over time. And then one day it gets too much. And sometimes it can be. And sometimes it happens to you like weather, like all of a sudden it's just boom. There's a thunderstorm in your heart and you feel just so helpless and hopeless. And that's what I felt. And fortunately, I was too much of a coward to do anything about it. And it had actually, I'd met that feeling a couple more times after that. But that really woke me up. And I woke up the next day with this anger and a voice that had told me that I could figure this out. I had to figure this out, but it wouldn't be easy. And I knew I couldn't take a pill for it because that would, you know, be changing my personality. That's like death, at least to me. And so I tried other things, and I found out quickly by going to therapy, I was smarter than my therapists and they couldn't help me. And talk therapy just seemed too slow, and talking about my negative feelings over and over and over again just felt like the wrong thing to do. And so I tried learning psychology on my own, and that didn't help. I went to the best school in the world for cognitive science because I wanted to learn about how my brain turned stimulus into information, thinking there might be something wrong in there, and obviously there wasn't. And so I started digging into weirder things. Positive psychology back then didn't even have a name. I started studying that, getting into Masaru Emoto's studies, ICE and Rice studies, and started learning about weirder things like hypnosis. And then I met NLP, neuro-linguistic programming, and I started making progress, and I started really changing things for myself. I started making friends, and I started dating, and I started feeling glimmers of happiness, and I started feeling, you know, a little bit more confident. You know, things weren't really good, but I was moving in the right direction. And I found that I was really skilled with these coaching skills. I got certified a couple of times in different ways for neuro-linguistic programming. And I got myself a teacher certification and found out that I could help other people get amazing results, even though my life wasn't quite there. And I started coaching for someone else who always seemed too busy to help me with my stuff. So I was, you know, everybody else's coach, but I didn't have one of my own. And at that time, I couldn't afford, you know, to hire anybody. I was barely making ends meet myself. And this is, I was still working in corporate America, by the way, so I was double timing. So on the weekends, I was coaching. During the week, I was working in an aerospace firm, which is just not for me. You know, I'm not meant to work for anybody else or have a routine or wear, you know, have anybody tell me where I could work or when I could work or what I had to do or who I had to do it with or what I had to look like. When, fuck all that. But, you know, because I was miserable and it paid the bills and I lied to myself. I told myself every excuse in the book why I still stayed there. Oh, I liked the people. It was reliable. It was easy, whatever. But really what it was is I was just too afraid to quit it and do my own thing. I didn't even know what that thing would be. Until one day I nearly had a nervous breakdown and I drove home and crying and called my mom crying, which I don't know if I had ever done before. And all I could tell her was, I can't do this anymore. I can't do this anymore. This isn't me. This isn't my life. I'm fucking miserable. I don't know what I'm going to do. I have to quit this. I don't know what's on the other end of it. I'll do coaching, whatever. I'm good at that. But I just knew I could not do this. Not another day. Not another moment. Not another second. And I quit. And the plan was to work as I'd been doing already for this other guy, this other coach, who was supposed to show me the ropes. And he had promised to teach me how to have a thriving coaching business. And he did. And his business was starting to fall apart as well. And because of some of his own health complications, his business would have completely fallen apart. But I was there, fortunately, and I was an excellent coach even at the beginning. And so I took over a lot of his coaching responsibilities, even though I wasn't making much. He paid me a little bit. But I still needed my parents' help for rent. And I was burning through whatever savings I got as a gift from my great aunt. It was supposed to be to buy a house. And I was using it just to buy food and to have, a little bit of fun and just make it through. But had no idea how to get clients. And I wasn't making any money. I was just watching my bank account fall through my fingers like sand. And I realized, I was fucked. I had no idea what to do. This guy wasn't showing me how to have a business. I didn't know what to do. And he had no business structure. I had no idea how he got clients, And it was just so stressful, racked with anxiety, to the point where, I was so freaked out and messed up. I could not sleep because of the anxiety. And during the day, I was so tired that I had to load myself up with caffeine just to make it through the day. But that made it even harder to sleep. And I put myself into adrenal fatigue. And we had an episode on adrenal fatigue, if you're curious about what that is. But it's becoming a zombie, essentially. You can never really sleep. You're never fully awake. You can't really think. Everything that you do, if you don't have caffeine, it's not you fall asleep. You just go into full zombie. So you need caffeine in order to stay awake function. But because of that, you can't sleep. And it's this downward spiral, and it makes anxiety even worse as you're pumping your body through with these stress hormones. And I was realizing, look, I may have been on the way out of solving my depression, but I'm on the way in very quickly to a real serious nervous meltdown. And one of my buddies suggested that I reach out to a guy I knew in college who had at one point been a consultant to some coaches who then became very successful. And so he recommended I reach out, and I did. And this guy was telling me, look, I can help you with a couple of ideas, which none of them really helped. But besides the point, he told me to look into this guy, this Indian guru dude. I'm like, oh, great, gurus. Remember, I'm a total scientist and I hated religion. So, because I had seen religion as the worst thing that had ever happened to mankind. And I'm like, great, this guru, all right, fine. I was desperate. I'm like, fine, I'll watch his stuff. And I looked at his YouTube videos. I'm like, this dude talks some basic shit. I talk about this stuff, and the way he's talking and everything, it's hard for me to pay attention, hard for me to listen. I'm not into it. And he's like, look, you just have to try it. There's a temple an hour away from you. Go visit the temple. Go talk to some of the sannyasis there. So this guru is a Hindu. And so sannyasis are sort of like the priests. And so I went there and walked in and saw people wearing these orange robes, red dots between their eyes. And I'm like, oh boy, I'm totally out of my element here. And there are pictures of this guru all over. I'm like, great. Fanaticism, perfect. That's really what I need right now. But I was desperate and so I didn't know what to do. So I was talking to them and, just could not get resolution on it. I couldn't make myself feel better. And I really didn't know what to do. And there's one day when I walked into this big room where they had all their deities, these big stone deities, metal deities. I walked in, I'm like, great, gods everywhere. That's what I need. Gods. Perfect. What I need is money. What I need is solutions. What I need is business. I don't need this shit. Like, why the fuck am I here? But I walked in And I walked into the room and I noticed at one point, as I was walking towards this little area that had all sorts of like weird things that apparently this guru had worn, and padukas. There's these like wooden flip-flops essentially. I'm like, oh, cool. Holy flip-flops. Like, what is this joke? And there was one moment where I walked up close to it, and it was like walking through a static barrier of static, where as I walked through it, all of a sudden I could feel like I had static electricity all over my body. And I thought, huh, that's weird. And I backed up and the feeling went away. And then I stepped forward and the feeling came back. And I thought, obviously, right, with my scientific mind, that I had to test this. And so took a couple steps to the left, backed up, and then walked forward. And there was that wall of static again. And then I backed up and I took a couple steps to the left and I walked up and I found that if I kind of traced where I had felt that static wall, it was forming a circle around this guy's stuff. And I thought, okay, well, you know, I've been coaching for a couple of years already. I know the power of suggestion. I'm like, maybe I'm just so desperate. I want this to be real. And so maybe my eyes and my brain are creating some sort of feedback loop and it's creating this. All right, fine. So where I was standing, where that wall was, I took out a piece of paper from my pocket, a little receipt, crumpled it up, put it on the floor. And then I took a couple steps back and I closed my eyes. And I took a couple steps back and a couple steps forward, a couple steps back, a couple steps forward, you know, did the hokey pokey, just to kind of lose myself in the room a little bit. And then I slowly walked forward until I felt the wall of static again. And as soon as I felt it, I stopped. And I opened my eyes and looked under my shoe and found out that I was stamping directly on top of that piece of paper. And that really put me to an interesting decision. Because see, he had a program in Thailand. It was a month-long meditation retreat. And it cost, I think, $13,000, plus the flight to get there and back, and plus considering I wasn't going to make money that month, that was all the money that I had in the bank. But my buddy, who had told me to go to this temple in the first place, had told me, like, look, you know, it's going to change your life. Right now, you're Dan, all lowercase, but when you come back, it'll be like Dan, like, capitalized and bolded. I'm like, I don't know what the fuck that means, but I want it. I need that in my life. Right. And I was asking people in the temple, you know, what did you feel before and after this event? And people were telling me all sorts of weird answers. Well, I just feel more grounded. I just feel more peaceful. Like, I don't know what that means. That doesn't help me. How? What else have you seen? Their answers were so generic and just unsatisfactory. But there was something that I could notice on each one of these people. They were much more quiet. They seemed much more composed. And after this experience with a static, I really came to a decision point. It was either I go back home and forget that any of this had ever happened, you know, and drink enough brain bleach, vodka, that I forget about all this shit. Or I bite the bullet and step into the terrifying, spend all of my money and go. And go see this guy. And that's what I did. Now, I went to Thailand with about 700 or so other people. And we get into this big room. And first of all, you know, as music plays, we're supposed to be sitting there in meditation, waiting for him to show up on stage. We wait for what turned out to be 2.5 hours. Now, I'm not very flexible. Sitting on the floor sucks. Hurts every part of my body. And after 2.5 hours, I was miserable. And there were no chairs either. Like, even if I wanted to, sitting on the floor. This guy finally comes out and starts, he just stands there. He just stands there and just smiles at people. And around the room, people started going crazy. People were bouncing up and down. Some people were shaking as if they were getting electrocuted. Some people were wailing and making weird sounds. Some people started laughing. Some people started crying. And I felt nothing. Absolutely nothing. I didn't know what I was supposed to feel. I didn't know what was going on. This guy's just standing with, it's called a trishul. It looks almost like a trident. He's wearing some robes and there's dramatic music playing and people are all having this weird sort of response to it. And I'm like, nah, what is this? I spent all my money for this. And so I was talking to people after that, like, I don't know if this is for me. This is just like, just stay here. I don't know if this is working. Just stay. I don't even know what I'm supposed to feel. Just stay. And what I found out is that this guy apparently sends Kundalini energy. Kundalini is sort of like, it's called chi sometimes, or ki. Kundalini is often depicted as a snake going up a staff. You actually see this imagery in a lot of different places. And for example, in Egypt, you know, the pharaohs would wear those enormous cobras over their heads, right? That is Kundalini energy coming through their third eye. Going up the staff, that's your spine. And so when you have your Kundalini awakened, sometimes it feels like electricity going up your spine. And so that's what people were responding to. That's why people were lifting up off the floor, right? They're sitting in lotus, lifting up off the floor. So there's like, oh, what the hell? For me, right? I don't know what this shit is. Energy? Energy doesn't exist. That's some hippy-dippy shit that people talk about to legitimize them wearing robes, smelling like patchouli, and loving crystals, right? That's what I thought. And so a couple more events where he's, you know, talking a little bit and sometimes. And okay, I kind of dug what he was talking about there. And then he'd send energy, and we'd be in these meditations, he'd send energy. And I remember in one time in one of these meditations where I started feeling something. At first, it felt like temperature where I suddenly got like 10 degrees hotter. And it just woke my entire body up. And I could feel something in my third eye, even though I didn't even know that I had one. I could feel energy moving all around me. And then it felt like someone kicked me in the spine and my entire body lifted up the floor as I felt electricity burning through my veins and realized that this shit was real. And if I tried to put my spine down, it felt like someone kicked me even harder. If you imagine that pose, that alien abduction pose, right, where like the tractor beam is taking someone up from their chest, that's kind of how my body wanted to be. And so for the next month, we had these maybe once or even twice a day with him. He'd be sending us energy and feeling different things. And I didn't know what I was supposed to feel, but I do remember this, that as I would be walking around this resort, which then turned out to actually, we discovered, turned out to actually not even be a real resort, but a front for the Thai mob. And this story, I don't want to get derailed here, but it ended up with them not letting us leave and us having to call the U.S. consulate to get us out of there. But anyway, that's for another time. As I was walking around this resort, one time I remember vividly I was walking around and all of a sudden I couldn't see anymore. My eyes were wide open. I couldn't see anything. My vision went black and white and scrambled as if I was trying to steal cable. And that stayed there for like a couple of seconds. I could almost feel like the zzz, and then clicked. And it was like I could see and hear and feel in high def. All the colors were brighter. Everything was sharper. I could hear everything and feel everything. And it was like that for only a couple seconds, and then it clicked back into standard def. I didn't even know I was experiencing my life through standard def up until that very moment. And I didn't know what it was that happened to me. I just kept on walking. And the next day, or it might even be 2 days later, that same sort of thing happened again. All of a sudden, my vision left, eyes wide open, but looking at the world as if I was stealing cable, and then clicked into high def. And this time, the high def stayed longer and then snapped back. And it kept on happening. Each time, staying in high def even longer, and then snapping back into standard def. Until one day it clicked into high def and it stayed. That was also the day that I realized that I hadn't drank caffeine for the last 4 days, and I'd been energetic. I'd been sleeping. I'd been energized. Now, I'd only been in this place for 2 weeks. And if you know anybody who's had adrenal fatigue, trying to heal it on their own or even supervised or with medical attention, it can take months, 6 months to a year sometimes. I healed my adrenal fatigue in 2 weeks. In 2 weeks. That's insane. It's impossible. It's not supposed to happen. And you might be thinking, well, you didn't have adrenal fatigue. Yeah, I did. Yes, I did. I absolutely did. And the diagnosis was real. I had all the symptoms and the diagnosis was legit. And within 2 weeks, it was gone. And I could feel that static electricity feeling that I felt before, that I then learned was spiritual energy. I could feel it off of people. I could feel it off of crystals. I learned how to expand that feeling. And now I can feel it off of anything that's alive. Plants, animals, people. I can feel it off of art. I can feel the emotion that the artist felt when they were painting or sculpting or molding. That's why Christian art feels like pain to me. All of that guilt really hurts. I can feel it. Even if I'm not aware of it in the room, I can feel it. Now, after it clicked into high def for me, the next day in meditation, as I was coming out, I felt the last of my depression leave. It was almost like a toxin that was finally being removed from my body. And I knew right then that I was going to be all right. I didn't know how I was going to make money or how I was going to support myself, but I knew I was going to be all right. And that I was going to be happy, and that good things could happen to me, and that miracles and magic do exist, and that maybe I haven't been punished in my life, but that maybe my life was guiding me to this, whatever this really is. And I came back, you know, I was a meat eater my whole life, and everybody was saying, hey, you're going to come back from this, you're going to be a vegetarian. I'm like, pah. I'm not going to be a vegetarian. Get the fuck out of here. Give me that steak. I came back a vegetarian. And it wasn't because I chose it. I just felt like I needed to. It felt like this is who I was. And for a year and a half, I visited this temple and I went to different events and spent a hell of a lot of money, total of about $45,000-ish, to really be there. And then I discovered that it really was a cult. I had my thoughts. But I discovered that it was a cult, and there was a lot of darkness in that. And let me just tell you, because I'll leave this for another time, but there is light and dark. Just like there is healing energy, there is destructive energy. And just like there is good magic, there is dark. And there was a lot of darkness there that I discovered later. But in this group, I had met children who wore blindfolds and could see as if they had their eyes open. Like, you know, started off with a parlor trick. I wrote down a bunch of random symbols, numbers, and I drew a picture of a butterfly and a happy face, crumpled it up in my pocket, put it in my, you know, and had this girl who was wearing a blindfold the entire time. I checked out the blindfold. She actually blindfolded herself twice and could tell me exactly what I wrote down. Exactly. There were people in that group who could look at you and scan your body and tell you what was going on in it? 1 foot is shorter than the other one. You have an allergy to this. You have a deficiency of that. This is what happened to you there. You have scars in here and here and here. You're prone to this kind of diseases. You had this in your life. Your parents had this and that, you know, to them. And they were accurate 100% of the time. There were people who could look at you and tell you exactly what your apartment looked like, how you left it before you went to go visit them in this trip. If there was anybody there now. Full layout, colors, everything. As if they were there. Crazy. It was like Hogwarts school there. But real. And I came back with a spiritual connection. And I knew that the universe wanted me to be successful. And I knew that I would be. That now I had something much greater than me supporting me and loving me. And even as my bank account kept on going down, I knew it would be okay. And I applied even more and more and more of my coaching to myself and used my spiritual practices. And I started getting clients out of nowhere. And within 6 months, I had a six-figure business, a thriving life. Felt peaceful and more grounded and confident than I had ever been, more self-loving than I had ever been, more in tune and on fire and energized, waking up every day instead of with dread, with excitement, feeling empowered like I could do anything. Because I knew that the universe got my back, that I was reborn. And since then, especially after I broke away from that cult, my spiritual connection has never been stronger. And I manifest my business, I manifest my life, I manifest everything in it. I've never been happier, I've never been more confident, I've never been more self-loving than right now. And my spiritual connection is a gorgeous thing. It's another sense. You know, I sense people's emotions, their thoughts. I sense energy. I sense decisions. My intuition is on point. I seem to attract incredible opportunities, possibilities, and people into my life all the time. Miracles happen. Synchronicities happen left and right, almost like I'm being guided, because maybe I am. And I know that I have support. So even when I'm going through some shit on this plane, I know I'm going to make it through. And I see signs of communication from the universe to me, letting me know that it loves me and I love it. And it's a beautiful connection. It's the most important one that I have. And through it, I really discovered real self-love and empowerment beyond words. And it's brought me everything that I attribute right now to being the best life I've lived, and abundant to such degrees that it's silly sometimes to think about it. And it's getting even better all the time. So I'm going to leave this here. But let me know what came into your mind and in your heart, what your thoughts are. Let me know your questions. Let me know if you listened to this and thought it was total bullshit, or if you're curious to see what else happened in that year and a half in the cult and what that really means and what I saw and what I experienced, because it gets crazier, way crazier. And if you loved this, if you want more of it, let me know too. Reach out. Take a screenshot of this. Post it up online. Tag me. Let me know what your thoughts are. Even if this is the weirdest, dumbest shit I've ever heard, I don't care. Let me see it. Until next time when I do one of these crazy ass things, thank you for spending this time with me. Thank you for being open-minded even a little bit. Thank you for listening. Lots of love.